A65. Number 9A.
Well, we have discussed together how it looks when a problem is being seen from all the four levels of science, and we go on now and consider now those four levels as a whole. We'll spend some time on that point just to see what these four levels imply as a whole. So, somebody has asked me, well, can we take these levels separately? Should we take them as something that are in separate categories, watertight categories, departments, so that they do not blend with each other? Well, naturally, this is not the case. Those four levels constitute a whole, and they are actually not four levels or on top of each other, as we have to present them, and we present them in the form of a chart. There we can't do it otherwise. But naturally, we must always conceive of them as being interlocked, as one category being within the other category, so that there is only one whole, and within that one whole, it is just a question of how we approach that one whole, from which angle we approach that whole, and that gives us the sense of the levels. So we build on that, and we'll talk about it this afternoon, that we build that each level actually can never be taken separate if we want to have the whole. Well, that naturally implies many different questions. One of the big questions that is always asked is, should we always start from the level of science, from the top? And we have done this week quite often, but we have done it because we are well aware and well trained in the chart, but we must now consider this question a bit more closely. Therefore, we take the subject of the ascending and the descending way of the chart, or of the levels. The ascending and the descending way. Now, what is the difference between the ascending way and the descending way? When would we be more concerned with the ascending way? When would we use the descending way?
The ascending way is when we're studying and seeking.
The ascending way, when we study, when we seek, yes. And the descending way, much more for the purpose of demonstration. Yes. So, in a short terminology, we could say the ascending way is the way of understanding. The way of understanding. The way to get understanding. And the descending way, therefore, would be the way of demonstration. Yes. So this would be the two great aspects. Now, what therefore do these two aspects convey to us in regard to any investigation or any contemplation of being? Is this something unique to us, or is that something that is more or less known in every religion? Is that something very new? Is that a new paradigm? No. Why not?
Because it's in the Bible, isn't it?
It's already in the Bible, very much so. Be able to state why, how it is in the Bible?
Well, even in Genesis,
in the Genesis, you have ascending ray, certainly. An ascending ray, we'll see that next week when we take the chapter on Genesis, but Mrs. Eddy would there show very clearly that those 7 days are an ascending ray, namely higher and higher steps, higher stages of consciousness, yes? How else would we see in the Bible that they were already always concerned with those two aspects in being? Yes?
Jesus made the remark that he had gone up and come down.
Yes, gone up and come down.
I can't quote the quotation, but nobody has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven.
Yeah, so he came down and went up. I can't quote, but they said, no man has come up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man who is in heaven. So he says something interesting, namely that you can only go up into heaven when you come down from heaven. Which is very interesting that he says he takes the descending way as the first and the ascending way as the second, and building those two together and say this is actually heaven itself. But Jesus was talking in the New Testament, and therefore he had to tell something about the Christ. So he accentuated the Christ. How is it in the Old Testament?
Jacob's ladder.
That the other way around. He saw the angels ascending and descending. See, and that is a wonderful illustration of the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Testament, which covers really the first 1,000-year period, the approach to principle, through mind, spirit, soul, to principle, and then we come from principle in the New Testament, and Jesus began to demonstrate that principle. So his office was to show the Christ, that the Christ comes from God and comes into the world, and again I leave the world and I go to my Father. So he always showed the descending first and then the ascending, because that was his unique office. But as we are asking ourselves, what is the way of the student? What is our way of life? There we can see very easily, well, we have to go the order of the Bible, namely first through the approach to God, as the Old Testament shows it, the approach to God. Therefore, the ascending way, the angels ascend. And only when we go over the 3.5 and touch principle, and that's then at the point where the Old Testament ends and the New Testament starts, that then we can demonstrate from the pinnacle of principle, from the throne of principle, can demonstrate that divine principle. And that is the descending way. Demonstration. So we have the Bible, we have many indications that this question, how shall I put it? It's a question of approaching God so that we are with God. This is the fundamental question that runs right through all religions, through all the higher religions. It's all a question. There is somewhere a higher being, a supreme being. Somehow we should get in touch with that supreme being, no matter through which method, if it is through sacrifices, if it is through dancing or through singing or through hymns or through festivals or through meat offerings and drink offerings and I don't know what. It's all a question, how can we get nearer to God? For what purpose? Always for the purpose that God comes to us. So it is one of the oldest question, or the deepest question, the most fundamental question that runs right through mankind's search for God, that it is always a question, how on earth can I ascend to God? How can I approach to God? For what purpose? That God is with me. This is the great, great question. So, we too have to see that we are studying what is God, not just for the sake that we study, but really because we know that if we touch God, God touches us. That there is then that atonement taking place on that basis. So that whenever we can see that we touch an idea, the idea touches us. Whenever we touch the divine principle touches us. This is therefore the fundamental big question. Now, we can say, now how do we really see this method? What, as far as we have presented it, as the angels ascending and descending, or the Son of Man, that's no more an angel. See, as long as we are in the search of God, we usually have to deal with angels. The moment we are already one with God and bring out the Christ, it's usually then the Son of Man. So with the New Testament, it weren't any more angels that came down to earth, but it is the Son of Man that comes down to earth and can ascend to heaven. So it's a higher idea. Now, the question is now that this is only putting the problem fundamentally, but not seeing how it can be done. The method of how it is possible really to ascend the rungs of the ladder like the angels ascending, how can that be done? It's not enough to say, well, that's the method, that we first approach God so that we touch God and then God touches us. So this is the great quest. What are the steps, what are the methods that enable us really to ascend? So let's talk about that ascending way. And I think we live in an age where for the first time it has been laid out very clearly, has been developed very clearly, that this ascending way is not just a must, is not just a wish, it's not just one should, but that it is nicely laid out in an ordered way how we can ascend. And this has been brought about through Christian Science, but especially, naturally, through revealing what really the textbook is teaching us, as John Dolly has been showing us. So, how is thought led up? The very first thing that showed any approach to God were what Celia said, are really the days of creation. They were for the first time that a method had been shown, and not just an imperative must. A method has been shown how we can start from where we are, from our ignorance, so to say, and can turn to God and then see step by step how thought would develop up to the recognition of what God is. So, can you see that the days of creation, which really start just with a little bit of light, breaks into consciousness and says, let there be light, that if we follow that order, that that order develops, spirit develops that little light. And as we keep on to that development of that light by separating what is darkened from the light, little by little, the third day appears, the dry land appears, things become much more definite, they are no more so mixed up as when you have a duality, and the dry land, the definite idea begins to come into consciousness. And so when the idea begins to break in into consciousness, the fourth day just says, and this idea has power. The fourth day. The moment we see an idea, we know that the idea runs and disports themselves, that the idea itself takes over, that we have, then we are over the three and a half, which was so important in the Bible, and it becomes subjective, and so the idea takes over and says, I'm going to govern, I'm going to demonstrate myself, and I'm going to demonstrate myself by lifting you out of the mortal. The fifth day, the birds lift you out of the mortal, and therefore you are above the mortal, therefore you get the sense of dominion over the mortal, the sixth day, and that gives you a sense of, that dominion gives you a sense of mastery, of peace, of rest, of fulfillment, and you feel suddenly some kind at peace with God. But it's only some kind of being at peace with God. We never really get in the first attempt the whole. It is always a way of approximation. It's a lifetime job. It's a lifetime engagement to the spiritual. But we open up really the realm of reality by following first the days of creation. That's what happened with John Dorley. So it's a good thing if in the teaching of this subject one really begins to introduce very much, say, the scientific order of being through the days of creation, which are fundamental. Then we have seen that these days of creation as an ascending way show themselves in many different aspects. We know them, how they can be illustrated not only through the days of creation but also through the commandments, that they bring into the picture already a little bit of a Christ sense, that they are still in the world order, but they have a demand on men. They are imperative for us. And we have seen that it brings in also a little bit of Christianity through the Beatitudes. Blessed are those who have that attitude, for they shall be given this and that and the other. It gives already some kind of a demonstration in daily life. And we have seen it in the Lord's Prayer through the seven, giving us a scientific interpretation of what being is. So in this way, John Dorley began to see that the ordered way of thinking is really starting the whole development and the whole unfoldment of understanding, and brought him finally to the point where he began to see what the next step was, what in that ascending way, namely that these days of creations are numerals of infinity. That was a big step forward, where Mrs. Eddy says, the numerals of infinity, called 7 days, they're only called 7 days, but the numerals of infinity mean what? We have seen that in our syllabus class, that thought rises still higher at that point, rises a little bit higher and says, but these days of creation are actually not happening within time. They are not things that happen in time. They don't need time. Fundamentally, they are values of isness, values of reality. That's the numerals of infinity. Infinity has no time concept. There's no beginning, no end. So that out of the sequence of the days of creation unfolded really the order of the numerals of infinity. So that instead of sequence, which, as the term says, one follows the other and has a time sense in it, you get an order of ideas, of the numerals of infinity, order of isness facts, isness values, and you get order, not so much a sequence. And so one begins to see that the days of creation melt into numerals of infinity, into facts that are, into present facts that are timeless, spaceless. Then the thought developed further from that point, still ascending. See, we are still on the level of Christian Science, because on the level of Christian Science you have the world order through the seven. So we had the numerals of infinity, which led finally to see that these numerals of infinity are actually ideas of what? Of the seven synonymous terms. That they correspond to the definition of God as mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. So at that point, thought was still rising higher in the world and was seeing that these ideas characterize, so to say, the seven synonymous terms. So at that point, one began to feel, so the seven synonymous terms are fundamental to our progress, to our spiritual progress. Little by little, as one began to see these seven synonymous terms, John Dolly began to realize that Mrs. Eddy uses them in various ways, in various orders, namely in the world order, in the Christ order, in Christianity order, in science order. Therefore, thought was rising higher to the question of four orders. That was another progress, another step. So still rising higher and higher with little steps, still on the level of Christian Science, still seeing, well, what is the world order? The world order freeing us from a false worldview. What is the Christ order? The Christ order come to us and forcing us to give up the false sense. Then the Christianity order. What is the Christianity order showing us? That everything is a reflection of God, that every idea reflects the whole of God. The science order suddenly showing that we should culture an understanding within us that is the same as in being, so that the understanding process is the same as in being, and therefore free ourselves of a false belief consciousness which calculates on the basis of belief. See, it was all on the level of Christian Science because it took care of false concepts. But rising higher and higher, through the days, through the numerals, through the seven synonymous term, through the four orders, all that took time, but led step by step more and more to a more complex sense of the system. Then, when John Dolly began to see that the seven are important and the four are important, he began to see that they must blend. And so he began to see that the four must blend with the four, and he conceived of the matrix. So at that point, thought still went higher, still on the level of Christian Science, rose higher to see that there is an infinite interblending of these categories as a matrix.
Where does the Word, Word does Christ, Word does Christianity, Word does Science, Christ does the Word, Christ does Christ does Christianity, Christ does Science, etc. And giving us the matrix which he could symbolize through the seven synonymous terms. So we had again a higher sense of the 4x4 intertwined with the seven synonymous terms. So you can see how the whole thing just broadened out and broadened out and broadened out. Until at that point he began to see that he was still thinking and calculating on the level of Christian Science. But there is something more to it than the level of Christian Science, than the attempt to correct error with truth. But to go on correcting error with truth would actually mean we must have error or Christian Science is of no use. So he began to see that this level per se is not complete, that it can't be the answer, that there must be something more to it. And so at that point his thought rose higher to the concept that there are four different levels of science.